Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Barnes, and I am so excited to share with you a question that has been on my mind. Should we be afraid of God? Throughout my faith journey, I have come across people who understand their relationship with God differently than I do. One day, I was having a conversation with a friend, and the topic of the importance of fearing God was brought up. They said to me that we must fear God because God is the Almighty who holds all the power in their hands. They continued by talking about how their fear of God plays an important role in how they live out their daily lives, specifically in their motivations. The scripture I picked to be read earlier was found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to you to test you, so that the fear of God will keep you from sinning." This message from Moses came soon after the Ten Commandments given by God. For me, this scripture can come off as seeming like, these are the rules, follow these rules or else. And for me, that sounds like very Santa in the naughty list. Do good because someone's watching, but not because it's what's right to do. Do good because you are afraid. But that doesn't totally resonate with me. When I think of God, I think of Jesus, God in human flesh. When I think about who Jesus was, I think of someone who was loving and kind. I think of Jesus meeting sinners and yet condemning them, but showing them mercy and hope. For example, in John chapter 8, when the scribes and the Pharisees brought the woman who committed adultery to Jesus and said, "Condemn her," he says to her, "Go now and do not sin anymore." Jesus' love and mercy seen in the passage tells me that while God does not encourage sin, God only wants us to grow and learn with God. Because of this, to me, God is not someone to be afraid of, but someone who wants a real relationship with us and overall, what is best for us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. "Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. You will call to me and come in prayer to me, and I will listen to you." Here, yet again, God is telling us that God wants us to come to God. God wants us to follow God. God wants us to love God and lean on God, not to be afraid. This impacts the way I have chosen to have a relationship with God. A relationship built from fear does not allow you to fully know God, but a relationship built on love and longing to be more like Christ allows for this deeper, more meaningful connection to Christ. So, in my life, rather than letting fear of God the Almighty be my motivation for living a good Christian life, I let my love and longing to be more like Jesus be the reason behind my actions. I won't always be perfect, but I will always know that God wants a perfect relationship with me.
When thinking about what I wanted to speak about today, this was the reoccurring question in my head. Can I be a good Christian if I doubt God and question his decisions? Church was a big part of my life growing up. I was taught to be a good Christian and was a part of church life and in the children's ministry. I said prayer at supper every evening in my household, and my parents praised me for being able to string together such beautiful prayers. When I was young, I thought church was fun and a place I got to meet new people and make friends. I believed God was good and provided for me because I was a good Christian. I prayed, I went to church, and participated in the children's ministry. God gave me a home, a loving family, and happiness. Then when I turned 7, my uncle, who had been fighting a chronic illness for the past year, died at 37 years old. Each dinner, I prayed for my uncle to get better, for him to be able to get the heart and double lung transplant he needed. He had a long, painful death, and as I sat at the funeral, looking at his body in the casket, I wondered, what kind of God let my uncle die and leave his wife alone with a 1-year-old child? My uncle was a good man, a good father, and a good Christian. So why had God let him hurt for so long? For the first time in my life, I doubted God. I questioned God and his actions, and I was mad at God for letting my uncle die. After that, I began to drift away from my church and from God. Due to extraneous circumstances, I did not become involved in my youth program, and I found myself going to church less and less until I only ever went for Christmas and Easter when I was dragged along by my family. I had trouble finding God through prayer and scripture, the sources I once had so much faith in. As it was said in James 1:5-8, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Despite my attempts at prayer, I felt like I was being thrown around and was at war with myself and my faith. Then, in 2021, my dad got a new job, and I switched churches to be here at Belmead. One of the first interactions I had with the members of Belmead was at a sweet potato bagging event in the front parking lot. There I met an amazing friend, Caroline, who talked with me about sewing and our similar hobbies. That friendship has developed into one that I treasure dearly, as she is one of the most amazing people you will ever meet. Due to her welcoming spirit and kindness, she made me want to participate more in youth and become ingrained in the program, something I would never have done without her. The more I came to youth, the more people I met, and now a single friendship has turned into a cohort of people I know I can rely on when things get hard. Then, as my dad got more involved in the church, as did I, he had mentioned he was lonely at Wednesday night dinner because he had to man the front table. So I began to come every Wednesday night to sit and keep him company while he worked. At first, I had just come to entertain my dad, but the more I came, the more people I got to meet, and the more relationships I started to build. One of my special ones I look forward to is the infectious smile of Mr. Skip, who always cracks me up with the same story of an Irish priest and his 12 siblings. At one of those Wednesday nights, I was told of a knitting group that met after supper and just knitted together and chatted. My dad encouraged me to join them, and I was welcomed with open arms. Even though I'm younger than most of the ladies in that room, I've never felt like I was not a part of the group. Now for Wednesday nights, I come to knit, and I have to endure a conversation with my father until it's time to join my special group. The thing that is most profound to me at Belmead is a relationship I've developed with one person, Miss Peggy. Our relationship began with her needing a ride to Wednesday nights in the colder months when the sunset was earlier in the day. Every Wednesday nights in those 10-minute drives, I got to share the best and the worst of my day with my friend. The times we can't ride together, I feel a loss. I'm not sure if reading scripture or reciting prayer makes me feel closer to God, but the relationships I've built with the people of Belmead allow me to see God through their actions and his hand in their lives. At times, I still struggle with my personal faith, and if I can consider myself a faithful and good Christian. However, despite the doubt I still feel, I can see how God's decisions have helped to shape the people around me and build them into the generous and kind people I see before me. I don't believe in coincidences or things that are meant to be. I believe that God puts people in your path when you most need them. And the people of this church were put in my path for a reason. Perhaps that reason was to help me find my way back to my faith.
Good morning. Because some of you might not know me, my name is Adam. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm the son of Jenny and Nick Streams, who are sitting right over there. Today, I'd like us to take a moment to reflect on the question of how much does Scripture really impact our daily lives, and if it doesn't, does that make us, quote-unquote, bad Christians? Scripture holds a unique place in the hearts of millions around the world. It contains teachings, stories, and wisdom that have shaped cultures, societies, and individuals for centuries. But in the midst of our busy lives, it begs the question of how much we let these texts influence our daily thoughts and actions. In our modern world of distractions and outside commitments, it can be challenging to pause and think of Scripture. In my personal experience, Scripture itself doesn't make a large appearance in my life, but I don't think of myself as a bad Christian. This set me thinking about how much Scripture really impacted my day-to-day life, and I asked myself, if I found that it didn't, would it make me a bad Christian? In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. To me, this means that simply put, scripture is the word of God, and as Christians, we should learn from it. But that only brought me to the second part of my question. If I don't think about specific quotes in scripture in my day-to-day life, does that make me a quote-unquote bad Christian? I didn't think so, but I wanted proof, so I turned to scripture. In my readings, I came across John 5, 39-40, which reads, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." I took this to mean that it wasn't in the scriptures themselves that the word of God could be found, but the morals taught in them. It wasn't simply about reading the Bible, it was about understanding it. The tricky part is reading between the lines without simplifying the passage down to its bare bones. A moral can generally be described in a short sentence, but the Bible is a long book filled with nuance. The context of quotes cannot be ignored, same as any other work of literature. If boiled down to its core, a lot of the Bible starts to come out with the same message. If you simplify it down to just a short little phrase, you will lose the real value in the teachings of the Bible. All this is to say, it isn't as important that you could quote something like Luke 6:31, "Do to others as you would have them do to you," or Matthew 5:39, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." It matters more that these principles are inscribed on your heart, that they are a reflex to the point where the thought about scripture is almost unnecessary. You just do the right thing. The point of this isn't to say that you need to have scripture practically tattooed across your body or that you have to be the perfect Christian that follows the Bible to the letter, but that not thinking about scripture doesn't inherently make you a bad Christian. As long as you consciously try to live by those same lessons that you learned in Sunday school, like the golden rule, turn the other cheek, or love your enemy, that you were taught all those years ago, I personally believe that is enough in the eyes of God.